And many people don't realize, they see that Jesus is the greatest leader of all time, who took 12 disciples and changed the world. And so the people see Jesus as their Savior, as their Redeemer, as their healer, all of these things. But often they don't see them as their leader. And that example and that model of leadership and how that can totally impact wherever they are and how they think, that is a big piece of it.
Welcome to this Lead Like Jesus podcast. This is Karen Conley, and I am so glad that you have joined us. We have a fantastic episode for today. Jim Montgomery. Jim is the Chief International Officer for Lead Like Jesus. Jim, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me, Karen. I appreciate it.
I love the opportunity that, Jim, you bring to us, Lead Like Jesus in a more global perspective. I'm excited to hear and share that with our audience. Before we dive into those details, let our audience know just a little bit about your backstory. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got connected to this ministry.
Many people probably don't know, because of my name, Jim Montgomery, that I was actually brought up Islamic. And I grew up and did most of my schooling while living in Turkey. It was around 24 years, when I was about 24 years old, I came to an understanding of who Jesus was just by picking up a Bible and began reading it. Soon after, I was with a campus ministry and got plugged in at the University of Texas, doing campus work there, and then eventually found myself in corporate America for a while. And as I was spending a deep amount of time in solitude and prayer, I felt like the Lord was leading me back into international ministry. After working with another ministry that was global for about 6 years, I began exposing all the national directors that I had been working with in Asia to Lead Like Jesus, and was training all the church planters and the national directors and their staff, 14 different countries. That was my first experience probably with Lead Like Jesus, and also exposing others to Lead Like Jesus. And then shortly after that, I left that particular ministry and found myself at Lead Like Jesus. It was just a natural fit. So here I am.
How long have you now been in this role as Chief International Officer with Lead Like Jesus?
It's been 4 years now. Actually, it'll be 4 years March 1st.
Okay. So you obviously have the big picture. And so many times in an organization, we can kind of, you know, get to the area that we're involved in and kind of see our niche. I would love maybe for you just to give us the 50,000-foot view of what it looks like for Lead Like Jesus in a global context. What initiatives are going on right now? What does that look like?
Right now, it's been very exciting. I think daily we're getting people from different countries wanting to see training take place in their country or in their respective network or sphere of influence that they have. And one of our big initiatives right now is developing countries with national representation. Translation is huge for us. And we're at a place now that we're right now working on about 10 different translations because of national interest. We're in about 16 different countries with national representatives. When we talk about national representation, we're talking about going into a country, finding a champion, a person of peace who has a real heart to see Lead Like Jesus, or people leading like Jesus, and impact their whole country and their community. We're talking about cultural change. These are the things that we can actually see happen, and that's part of the impact that we end up having. Part of that is just them putting together an encounter and developing facilitators. So we find facilitators that are drawn to this message and other people leading like Jesus. And as we do this, we train people from different spheres of influence, whereas you might have someone focused on education, someone might be focused in the marketplace, and then a church planting training. We tap into all these different demographics, and before we know it, we have a national team that's impacting the entire country.
Tell us a few of the countries that would have Lead Like Jesus represented right now.
Nigeria, Ghana in Africa. It's Nigeria, Ghana, South Africa, Kenya, Niger, even in Uganda. We just added Uganda more so recently with national representation. And through this, we're beginning to have more and more requests, of course, for translations being done, especially as they go deeper. One of the benefits of having national representation, this is something that we could never do from the U.S., but once you have those leaders within country, they're able to go so deep within that country and impact even the rural areas and local governments. So that's one of the things that we see happening. in other places in Asia, Indonesia, the Philippines has been really successful tapping into the marketplace, and companies like Toyota, Toshiba, even Yamaha, and then India is in South Asia, and we're just beginning to touch into Sri Lanka and Nepal. It's just expanding. And one of the nice things that we end up seeing is that because of, as a national leader, or when we begin to see national representation really take off strongly with a good, solid team, before you know it, they're crossing over into other countries and impacting those other countries that are neighboring them.
That is so exciting to see just the reach that, that this ministry is already having. Jim, maybe break that down for us in a real-time way. So the first contact that you make in a new area right now, what's the timeline? And obviously, probably each one is different based on just how God's moving and relationships and connections. What would a typical time frame look like from entry point until you're seeing these different spheres of influence begin to take root with leaders?
It all depends on, often depends on the translation that is needed sometimes, depending on how far and deep they go. I'll give you an example. In December, I was in Ukraine, and we had a Russian translation begun for that particular country, and they took hold of it, and we trained 7 facilitators, and now their next encounter is going to be in March, utilizing the Russian translation. So we began from December to March. We saw something really take place pretty quick. In Vietnam, we went into that country by way of people who had already been trained through the Philippines, and they ended up doing the translation probably within a matter of months, very quick. And then from that, we were able to see over 1,000 people be trained just in a short period of a year. So it all depends on the country and how vigorous they are. If they have an English-speaking language already that's maybe secondary, like the Philippines, or primary, maybe like in Ghana, then you're able to jump right into seeing some of these countries take hold of it, from going into finding that man of peace or that woman of peace, and that champion who's really to take it. And usually they are tied to a much larger network, a much larger ministry. We tap into that. We want to make sure that whatever country we end up going into, that they do belong to some level of a ministry with a board and foundation behind them. And that's just to provide accountability and making sure that we're legally compliant and with the laws of the land and doing what we're doing to spread as far and as deep as we can within each country.
I guess in my mind, I always imagined that the ministries themselves are behind the scenes trying to get all of their work translated, which is what happens a lot of times. But it sounds like, even in this instance, that you have some of those that are so taken by the curriculum and want to help spread it that they themselves are beginning to help in that translation process. Is that what it sounds like?
That is exactly right, Karen. That's probably one of the most exciting pieces here for us, is that, and it shows skin in the game to an extent, too, for each country when they take hold of it and they say, listen, we want to translate this. We're ready to go. Let's do this. We just put it right before them. We have them sign an affiliate agreement with us, and then we're ready to do whatever we can to assist them in that translation. And then it's made use of. They're able to spread it and go much deeper than we've ever imagined. So in a country, and even with countries that are primarily English-speaking countries, Nigeria, predominantly they speak English, but at the same time, there's trade languages like the Hausa language that is an Islamic trade language from centuries. And that is one of the predominant actual languages, not just in Nigeria, but also in other parts of the sub-Saharan desert. And so here we're looking at doing church planting training, and now we're able to put that in that particular language and train them to lead like Jesus. So it's pretty exciting.
That is. I'm familiar with the Lead Like Jesus encounter that we have here in the United States. Is that first kind of entry point that you go into a country? Is it something similar to that? Or how would that initial impact be made? What type of things are you going in there with initially?
That is the initial entry point that we utilize. Is the international version of the encounter is a 2-day version that we take them through. We're a little bit more exhaustive in the sense that we want to put forward certain exercises that would help bring about cultural change and challenge leaders in particular cultures that are maybe very dominant in nature. And we want to make sure that the leaders learn to listen and to listen well. And so we'll have exercises that really bring that out and challenge them. And when they go home, that they really are listening to their wives. So these are just things that we do, and especially in the African countries, that can be very dominant that way.
And then they have plenty of opportunities to practice what they just learned right away, right?
That's exactly right.
Jim, it sounds like there's just been great favor given to this opportunity to bring Lead Like Jesus, not just to the United States, but really, truly around the globe. Why do you think the message of Lead Like Jesus is meeting with such warm reception globally?
That's a really good question. I think primarily every country I go into, I'm always faced with this statement: our country is the most corrupt country in the world, and we have corrupt leaders, and it's impacting everyone. That is generally what I hear from, if I go into Indonesia, if I go into India, if I go to, you know, it doesn't matter where I go. And for me to tell them the same, you know, it's really corrupt everywhere. And I don't usually go on to that conversation, but I totally understand where they're coming from. But that's a big portion of it. Even among Christian leaders, it's the same thing, because culturally, they don't know the difference. And they may have that Christian covering, and they may be saved by grace and all of that. But as far as leading like Jesus, it's completely different. And many people don't realize, they see that Jesus is the greatest leader of all time, who took 12 disciples and changed the world. And so the people see Jesus as their Savior, as their Redeemer, as their healer, all of these things. But often they don't see them as their leader. And that example and that model of leadership and how that can totally impact wherever they are and how they think, that is a big piece of it. And internationally, it impacts them deeply. I was in Egypt about a year ago and was about 125 pastors that have been ministering for 20 to 30 years, and many of them were just surviving. Some were thriving, but most were really just surviving. And I would say that after going through the encounter, many of them came up to me and said they'd never, ever experienced anything like this before. We were so used to being taught to and lectured to about leadership. The first time it dealt with me as a leader. And that's what we hear, and that's what we get. And it just has a way of changing those. For those that don't know Jesus, come into a new understanding of who Jesus really is. And even for those who have been in ministry for years, it rekindles their faith and their trust in who Jesus is. And they see themselves completely different. They begin to understand who they are and whose they are. And that's a powerful thing.
So you've used the term finding a person of peace as you enter into new countries, and then mentioned, you know, obviously the vetting that you do to make sure that they belong to a ministry with a board. What does that look like as you're going into cultures that are not primarily Christian? Is this seen as a kind of a pre-evangelism? They may not be a believer, but they are interested in leadership. And does that open the door for you?
It will always be a believer that we end up working with, especially as we train people as facilitators. So they need to be a believer. They need to have a personal walk with Jesus, and their faith needs to be very evident. We are looking for that champion, that personal individual that demonstrates humility and has a desire to learn, mm-hmm. but is also able to bring other people to them. They attract and they influence other people. They're fluid. And they are unthreatening. That's that man of peace, that person of peace, or that woman of peace, is that they're unthreatening and they demonstrate humility, and people want to be around them. Those are individuals that we look for, but the biggest thing is that they got to have a heart for what we're doing in the message. If you find people that have shared similar values, that have a similar vision, they will literally bleed, sweat, cry just to accomplish it. You don't have to pay them. You don't have to force them. It is just putting the next thing before them. And that's what we're seeing.
Well, and I love what I'm hearing from you is when you're going into a new country as really a missionary, that you have those things that you're talking about so that you know that leader is grounded in Christ. And what you talk about being fluid and unthreatening and the humility. I mean, humility was one of those virtues that if you're going to lead like Jesus, he was humble. But then to see how that opens doors to others and that person being unthreatening can be that welcoming voice of who Jesus really is and what that looks like and how their life can be different. So it's exciting to me to listen, and I can only imagine just some of the experiences that you've been able to have being on ground level there and seeing these things transpire. Talk to us a little bit from your perspective about leadership issue, more from a global perspective than a U.S. perspective. How is that different?
The way that I see it is different. You know, within the U.S., you have a kind of an operating system or culture of, and what I mean by that is that you have faith that, and most people do here in the U.S., that if you desire to establish a business, you have just as much right and freedom as the other person of being successful in that business or, you know, the opportunity for that to exist. And you trust that the way things are established are going to work out the same for any one person. It doesn't matter. You may be more successful because of whether it's your skill level or something that you put forth, or, you know, maybe you're great at management and marketing and your business might end up taking off, but you have that same opportunity as anyone else. That's not true in many countries. And that's the kind of the blessing you have in just America itself. But you still have corrupt leadership. You still have some of that taking place, but not like the level of leadership that exists around the world. Much of the leadership that is around the world is very short-sighted. And what I mean by that, and it's a lack of faith and hope that there won't be any change, even through them as when they step into leadership. And so what happens is when people come into power, when they come into leadership, they literally take what they can in that short opportunity that they feel like they're going to be in. And so if they come into a political arena where they're in politics and they come into office, they will do whatever they can to enrich their lives and take what they can because they don't believe they will last there at any, you know, for any length of time, or that they will have any impact of change that they can actually bring forward. So that is part of the short-sightedness that I believe that exists around the world. The difference is that we have the opportunity of coming in and really changing that mindset, even with people from the Christian walk or a pastor or lay leader, that they individually can have an impact at any moment of the day, at any second of the day. And it's the whole mindset of just anytime you seek to influence the thinking, behavior, development of another person, you're taking on the role of a leader. And so that anytime is all-inclusive. It has nothing to do with your background or your education or your experience. It's a matter of whether or not you're going to take on or seek to influence and have that opportunity to influence or make that opportunity to influence. That is part of what we're bringing forth, and we're exposing how Jesus led that way, modeled that, and sought to influence the thinking and behavior and development of others.
Well, and that is, I think, something that maybe as an American, we can all complain and think things could be better, but we lose perspective of some of the opportunities that we just take for granted here. But to think that all over the world, you're having the opportunity for light bulbs to go on in a leader's mind to realize, no, you can actually make a difference and look at this from a long-term perspective instead of just the grab what you can because you're not going to be here so long. That is a radical shift in perspective. As you think about the Lead Like Jesus model, what specific problems do you see that this model is helping to solve across the world?
When we say problems, I really believe that it has a way of addressing the needs of people. One, for people who come into a new relationship with Jesus, and for those that have been in ministry for quite some time and have just not known anything different, it's the same thing over and over again. To come into an understanding of that their faith can be rekindled, that Jesus can make an impact not only in their lives but their ministry, and as they lead like him and model him, I believe that light bulb does come on for them in many ways, at least in what we've been seeing happening. I'll give one example I can think of. It's the idea of changing one person, you know, one church, one community, and even a nation. The church planting training that we've been doing and seeing happening, we've been training church planters for quite some time, and now we've been taking more of a focus in even sponsoring the training of church planters so that they are going through the encounter. They initially have been assessed. They've been evaluated by the mother church and then the ministry that we are sponsoring. And at the same time, they are being infused with Lead Like Jesus throughout their training of 12 months. They go through a training of 12 months, and then they end up having each month they come together in a batch of about 40 church planters, a cohort of 40 church planters. They come together, and then they reevaluate what has been successful and what hasn't been successful for 3 days. And then they take this, what we call just-in-time learning, where they just learn the next steps to go forward, and then they go out to the field, and they continue with what the targeted area that they're focused on. That is the opportunity for us to really develop a leader within a new area where a church is being planted. And with that church that leads like Jesus, they're able to develop a community that leads like Jesus. I've seen entire villages completely impacted and come to Christ. Entire villages where they were one time animist, but through the sowing of the seeds of a church planter, they are able to, one family after another comes to the Lord, and before you know it, the whole village is proclaiming Jesus. And at the same time, you'll hear the sounds of alms, the prayer, the call to prayer. And I mean this not in the Islamic sense, but in the Christian sense, where it's still the tribal songs that you might have or the sounds that you may have. And on a Sunday morning, and then everyone would flock to that church that they had built, maybe a shack. But that's where they meet as a village, and there they are worshiping. But to have a whole entire village come to the Lord. But now that we're able to really develop them even further and to lead like Jesus, we're seeing amazing things take place in each of these churches and also through the church planter.
Jim, I think we've just touched the tip of the iceberg here on what's going on internationally with Lead Like Jesus. If you would be up for it, I would love to do a part two with you and continue our conversation. I want to hear some more about what God is doing. In the meantime, as we wrap up today's show, if people want to reach out to you, they're interested in being a part of what you are doing, obviously leadlikejesus.com is a great resource for them. Anywhere else more specific if they wanted to connect with you?
They could go to global@leadlikejesus.com. They can email global@leadlikejesus.com, and that'll come directly to me if they want to email us that way. That's one way to connect with us, and of course the website itself too.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Jim. I look forward to part two and hearing some more of the stories of how God is using Lead Like Jesus. For all of our listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. Come back for part two, and in the meantime, if you want more information, go to leadlikejesus.com.